Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Justices Thomas and Alito both invite new challenges to fix the Supreme Court Obergefell mess, the case involving same-sex marriage. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Liberty Counsel, we filed a petition before the U.S. Supreme Court to have a case involving our client, Rowan County, Kentucky Clerk Kim Davis, who now is the former clerk of that county, to have the court hear a particular legal doctrine known as qualified immunity. Now, let me explain that for a minute before we talk about what the court did. Qualified immunity means that a public official has a certain immunity unless they intentionally and knowingly violate a clearly established law. And so when we go back to 2015, right after the Supreme Court issued the Obergefell marriage case, it had a huge impact around the country. Well, in Kentucky, the state law still said marriage is the union of a man and a woman. What must a clerk do? In her case, everything she does is regulated by state statute. If she violates a state statute, then she could actually be held responsible, liable under state law for not following the statute. The statute was not changed. So what should she do? So in this case, she decided she's not going to issue any marriage licenses. She didn't want to put her name and authority and title on a marriage license for same-sex couples. And she wasn't going to issue any licenses until it was all clarified, and she asked for a religious accommodation. That was the situation. We ultimately eventually won that religious accommodation through the legislature in 2016, which unanimously passed a religious accommodation law for Kim Davis and the other clerks. So that's the background. In the meantime, the ACLU and the other plaintiffs later on said they wanted to have attorney's fees paid by the state. And they also wanted Kim Davis to be personally responsible.
Against those couples that, those same-sex couples that sued her.
Right. And we argued that she has qualified immunity. She's a public official, and you can't pierce that veil. Right. The lower court ultimately eventually ruled that she was not entitled to qualified immunity, and they could go forward with presenting evidence about the situation. So we asked the Supreme Court to review that. The Supreme Court declined to review the qualified immunity case. And in fact, the Supreme Court this year has declined many qualified immunity petitions, not just our case, but over the summer and over the last term, they did as well. So they decided not to review that portion. So we're going to go back and continue to litigate this case on behalf of Kim Davis, and the case may ultimately reappear at the Supreme Court. But here's the issue. The petition that we had before the court focused on this qualified immunity doctrine, not the constitutionality or the religious accommodation per se of Obergefell, because that wasn't the issue of the lower court. But what Justice Thomas and joined by Alito said is that the 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges case caused a collision with religious liberty, and the court must fix it. In fact, we had four justices back then. Roberts strongly dissented in Obergefell, along with Alito and Thomas, and of course, then Scalia. And Alito predicted that the opinion would cause a significant problem for religious freedom. And Justice Thomas said she may well be the first victim of the Supreme Court's cavalier opinion regarding this particular issue that they ruled upon. And essentially what they're asking is, although this case did not present that challenge, it may later on, certainly we intend to make sure that it does when it gets to that point again. But they're essentially inviting new challenges to come back to the court because they said the court made a mess and only the court can fix it.
Right. I mean, he noted that Davis found herself with a choice between her religious beliefs and her job. And Davis may have been one of the first victims of the court's cavalier treatment of religion in its Obergefell decision, but she will not be the last. And we've seen that, you know, since Kim Davis' case, we've seen, you know, florists and bakers and photographers and printers, all of them in the same situation fighting for their religious beliefs against their occupation.
Yeah, he said, due to Obergefell, those with sincerely held religious beliefs concerning marriage will find it necessarily or increasingly difficult to participate in society without running afoul of Obergefell and its effects on other anti-discrimination laws. It would be one thing if recognition for same-sex marriage had been debated and adopted through the democratic process, with the people deciding not to provide statutory protections for religious liberty under state law. But it is quite another when the court forces that choice upon society through its creation of atextual constitutional rights and its ungenerous interpretation of the Free Exercise Clause, leaving those with religious liberties objections in the lurch. That's what Thomas wrote.
Well, it's like these activist justices put a right to same-sex marriage into the Constitution, which is not there.
Yeah, and he said, you know, Davis is the first one, maybe the first one, of the victims of this court's cavalier treatment of religion, but she will not be the last. He also goes on to say that the petition implicates important questions about the scope of Obergefell. He also said that as he ended this particular statement, he said, the court has created a problem that only it can fix. Until then, Obergefell will continue to have ruinous consequences for religious liberty. So, you know, the talking point that comes out of this is that we've got Justices Thomas and Alito asking for new cases to come forward and challenge the court, put the issue right in front of the court on Obergefell. And we're going to take them up on it, no question about it. Which is all the more reason why, as we start this week, or end this week, and we started the week with Judge Amy Coney Barrett, why Amy Coney Barrett needs to be confirmed on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right, because she understands same-sex marriage is not in the Constitution. It's been created by these activist justices.
As Thomas
said, it's not their job.
He calls it an atextual constitutional right, which means it's not part of the text. It's not in the Constitution. And Chief Justice John Roberts back in 2015 gave a very strong dissent against this particular ruling, saying that it was not either in the Constitution nor the court's precedent, but it's simply the will of five lawyers. He didn't even call them justices
right,
or judges, five lawyers.
That's why it is so important to have justices that follow the Constitution.
Yeah, so that's where Amy Coney Barrett comes in. Judge Amy Coney Barrett, of course, has been nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court by President Trump. And she is somebody who is in the line of a Scalia, in that Scalia, but particularly with Judge Barrett, is an originalist, meaning that she's going to focus on the original intent and words of the Constitution. And it makes sense. If you're going to enter into a purchase, say, for example, of a house, and you enter into an agreement to get a mortgage with the bank, and there are certain terms and conditions there of your payment, or say you're renting something, and there's terms and conditions with regards to the rental and your use of the property and how much you're supposed to pay on a monthly basis and how much it is if you're late in terms of a penalty. And you then are entering into that agreement. Words matter. You all agree. You sign the document. Now you're moving forward happily ever after, and then all of a sudden one party says, I want to change. And you say, well, you can't do that. That's not what the language said.
And the contract is not a living document.
It's not a living document. Let's go back and look at what the actual contract says.
Right.
Because we're going to be bound by that unless we both agree to change it, which is what we've done through constitutional amendments, where the people
right,
agree to amend something and add a constitutional amendment. But if someone unilaterally can change the contract in our own private interaction, then contracts wouldn't matter. The whole society would tumble because it creates chaos. That's exactly what happens with the court when they ignore the Constitution and they impose their own view. Look, the people can change it through a process. It's very difficult for a good reason. It's not a statute. It's a constitution. It's supposed to be hard to amend, but
the founders knew what they were doing.
Yeah, to amend it when you want to. But it is not the job of five unelected judges to do that. That process is clearly set out in the Constitution, and nowhere does it say five individuals on the Supreme Court can do what the people are unable to do.
Absolutely.
Go to Liberty Counsel's website for more information, lc.org, and to learn more about Judge Amy Coney Barrett, we have a special page, lc.org/Barrett, lc.org/Barrett.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.